This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, we don't need a recorded Tim. We got live Tim right now.
I love live Tim.
Yeah, let's go to the River Islands guest line. Big night in Portland. We especially appreciate it on a game night. Tim Roy joins us live on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Tim, what's going on?
Not much, guys. How are you? Just getting ready for the game.
Yeah, I bet you are. And we're doing great. I think we've appropriately had enough time away from Wednesday to regain perspective. But what was your takeaway from that one?
Is that, you know, you don't want to play a team that not only has, you know, they're playing with house money, but they're also playing with purpose. And by that, I mean that they have really nothing to play for except their pride. And that's a franchise that has traditionally, you know, not, you know, as you know, much as they've, you know, tanked in past years and gotten three incredible draft picks, but they still have a culture of playing hard. And that's what they ran into the other night. I thought they, and again, it's not an excuse, but I do think there has been a toll taken by that stretch of games that they went through. The 2 week road trip followed by the four game gauntlet right at the end of it, which included a couple of home games. And so I think there is a maybe not much a physical toll, but a psychological toll. I think mentally they were tired in the fourth quarter.
Is it tough in those spots for teams to still get up for an opponent that doesn't have Wembanyama and doesn't have De'Aaron Fox, and much like tonight where, you know, Portland's going to be missing a small handful of players? Or is a team at this point able to still be motivated knowing it's the penultimate game?
Well, Tim, you know, you're playing in the park and you got a guy that you know you can beat. You know, you're not as intense as a guy that, oh, I better lace him up here. I got to play my best to beat this guy. It's human nature, I think, to occasionally look past an opponent. And that's why they call them trap games, because, you know, you try to convince yourself mentally, okay, I'm ready for this game. We're going to do it. And then, but deep inside your psyche and in your heart of hearts, you're going, okay, if we play, okay, we'll win this game. And so that's what I think you have to face in the NBA a lot of times is facing that kind of a mental hurdle. And so I think that's what they faced in those couple of games. And I give credit to San Antonio. I thought they played really hard and really well.
Tim Roy with us, voice of the Dubs on Willard and Dibbs. Tim, when you prep for a game, when you go into a game, like what's the thing or two that you look at and go, if the Warriors do this, they'll win?
Well, in years gone by, when they had their great teams, it was always turnovers. You know, if they don't turn the ball over, they're going to give themselves a chance to win because they have all that tremendous firepower. In this particular edition of the Warriors, turnovers are always a key, obviously, but they really haven't turned the ball over at an alarming rate this year. They're right in the middle of the pack, which for them is really good. But I think the thing for the Warriors, just getting good shots and not passing up good shots. Their offense hasn't been as great as it's been in the past. It's really a sort of a middle-of-the-pack offense. Their defense has been good all year long, top 10 all year, and really good since Jimmy Butler arrived. So I'm not as concerned about that. I do get concerned about the offense sometimes when it tends to bog down and they tend to really struggle to get a good look at the basket.
When you think about this being a make-or-miss league, and you've got Steph Curry, who is the greatest shooter of all time, when you look beyond that, is it as simple as, well, Pods and Buddy and everybody else, they have to be able to make threes or else this team is in some real trouble?
Yeah, I think at times they've relied a little too much on it, I think, but I think it'll be different in the playoffs. I'll tell you why. By all accounts, playoff Jimmy Butler is a real deal, and then teams are going to run Steph off the three-point line. So I think in the playoffs you'll see this team more looking for twos than threes. I think they'll be getting more twos than threes. I think teams will try to keep Buddy Hield, Steph Curry, Pajemski, Moses Moody in the corner, try to keep them from getting into a groove there. And so I think you'll see the Warriors having to come off the line and maybe pull up for a two. So I think in the playoffs, I think they'll be shooting a lot more twos than they did in the regular season.
Tim, obviously, get in and you get what you get. I understand that's job number one. But are there any Western Conference opponents that you see as potentially more difficult than others for the Warriors?
Well, first and foremost, Oklahoma City is better than anybody else in the West. They're the best team. You don't want to play them if you can help it. But, personally, I think the matchups for them are better against teams not from L.A. I think the Clippers are a tough matchup for them because Kawhi Leonard is healthy. And when he's healthy and playing well, he's one of the best players in the game. And he does it without the fanfare or the look at me stuff. And and they've got Norman Powell back now. So that team scares me. And the Lakers scare me because, you never know when you're going to run into a quarter where they're going to shoot, 20 free throws. And so that's a big concern for me. Though I will say this, the last game the Warriors played against the Lakers, the matchups weren't nearly as extreme because they don't have Anthony Davis anymore. And when Jackson Hayes went off the floor, the Warriors got to the rim whenever they wanted. So I think that matchup is curious. And if they do end up playing them in the first round, I'm really curious to see those matchups because I think they're a little more favorable for the Warriors, even though they have Luka, who's unguardable at times. But I think that the fact they don't have the dominating inside presence, I think, would really help Golden State.
That was a weird game because it felt like the Lakers were a little bit out of sorts until the fourth quarter. And I thought, Tim, that was one of the higher level fourth quarters of NBA that I've seen this year. And Austin Reeves suddenly woke up and it was a back and forth affair. When you look at a game like that in a matchup like that, is it one where the Warriors are going to favor more of an up-tempo style to beat a team like LA?
I think the Warriors would, again, going back to shot selection, I think any time they can push the pace is better because they get into early offense, teams aren't able to set up their offense, and you get a better shot that way, and usually you do. And so I think playing up-tempo against, any opponent will favor Golden State, but especially an opponent, like L.A.
Tim, we talked to Steve Kerr yesterday, and we asked him how Jonathan Kuminga was doing as far as kind of getting acclimated with the Jimmy Butler group and what this would mean for the playoffs. We want to play this for everybody, let him hear it, and then I would love to ask you something about it. Here it is.
Jimmy's arrival took away a lot of Jonathan's minutes at the four. There's no doubt that, as soon as Jimmy arrived and we started winning, we leaned into lineup combinations that enhanced Jimmy because we were winning. And Jonathan was out for that whole stretch. We went 17-3 or something. So we're going to keep doing what's been winning. But the lineup with Jimmy, Jonathan, and Draymond doesn't fit real well, frankly. It just doesn't. We need more spacing. We've found other lineups that have clicked. And this is just part of the deal, being in the NBA. And you got to adapt to whatever, whatever's happening with the team. Jonathan's done a great job of that. He's working hard. hard. He's playing well when he's out there. But I'm just going with the lineup combinations that I think are going to give us the best chance to win. And you know, there's going to be nights where he's absolutely part of that, like the Laker game. And then there's going to be nights where I go to Buddy or Moses or Gary Payton. It just changes every game based on what's happening, and I have to read that as a coach.
Okay, so what do you think that means for Jonathan's role in the postseason?
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just think he's probably going to play more with Steph Curry on the floor. That's what it sounds like to me, that if Curry's off the floor and they're playing Jimmy Butler with Draymond, like that group that starts the second quarter, I think he's also pointing out that's why Quentin Post is a key for that group, because he provides them with spacing. Because they have to honor Quentin at the three-point line. If you don't, he's got to knock down. He's got to keep shooting him until he knocks down a couple. So that's what I'm looking at. I think you'll see Jonathan's minutes be more with Steph on the floor than, say, with Jimmy.
And when you look at Jonathan on the floor, and you know, Mark and I were talking about this a little bit during the break, and is he a three? Is he a four? Is it more positionless with Jonathan? And if so, with whom does Jonathan fit the best when he's out there for those 20 or so minutes?
Again, I think that's something that they're gonna find out. I think he could play with Draymond and with Steph because there's better spacing there. So you know, I think, and of course, don't forget that as we head to the postseason, those rotations will get shortened a little bit because you can't. There's nothing to. There's no back to backs. There's no three games in four nights. You'll have rest between games. And so it's time to play your best people and your best combinations. But I think there will be a role for Jonathan. I just think that, again, it's going to be one where, you know, he's going to find his way. But I think, again, I go back, it's going to be with Steph Curry, maybe with Draymond. Maybe they bring Quentin Post out to play with Jonathan and Steph. You know, these are all, you know, possible combinations that they could use.
Do you have any secrets you want to tell us about the availability of Quentin Post and GP2 tonight?
Last I looked, they were questionable on the injury report, but I haven't checked it for a few hours.
Yeah.
Did you see Quentin Post, and was he sneezing or coughing, Tim?
No, I did not see Quentin face-to-face.
Okay.
So I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Okay. Nice. All right. They do both remain questionable at this hour. Hey, what do you see with Moses Moody? Is this just, hey, got to see one go in and then... and then everything's okay, or is there more to work on?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment because, you know, if you look at his track record this year, you know, he's been really consistent. And I think he's hit kind of a rough patch, lost a little bit of his confidence. And so I think, you know, if he sees a couple go down tonight, that would really help him. And I think, you know, to get back to that consistent, you know, 10-point-a-game guy, and, you know, going back to the San Antonio game, if you have games where, you know, Kuminga doesn't play great and Pajemski didn't have a great night, Moody didn't have a great night, if those guys don't have, you know, collectively all don't play well, that's going to be a tough night for Golden State because they need those extra points. They need those extra right decisions and good plays to help them and to help their big three. So, you know, again, I think Moses has been very consistent this year, you know, since about mid-season. So I'm not really super worried about him right now. And he is kind of an unflappable kid. I don't think pressure really gets to him. Now, you know, confidence, that's another thing. He needs to see a couple of them go in.
No doubt. And I think that outside of Steph, they all need a couple of them to go in because they shot 48 the other night and they went 16 of 48. And as I was pointing out to Mark before, 33% from three is kind of the line of demarcation where if they're at that or below, they lose two of every three games. I wonder what your thoughts are, Tim, about fatigue and just overall fatigue and how important it is for this older team to avoid the play-in tournament.
Well, I think anytime you get a couple of days off at this time of the year is really good. It's really helpful because you get all those you know, aches and sore ankles and sore backs and everything else. And you also get a little bit of a mental break. So I think staying out of the play-in, and then the other fact, you know, when we've seen this with the Warriors in the past, you weren't up against a team that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the Grizzlies that one time, everybody's hitting threes. They had guys parked out in the corner who usually don't take threes. They were knocking down threes. You know, the LeBron James banked in a shot in a big moment in a play-in game against the Warriors. I mean, he banked it in. And from three, from straight out, you know, anything can happen in those games. And you could play well and lose if the other team plays great and gets lucky. So you desperately want to stay out of that scenario because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I think it's been great for the league. You know, we had all this positioning you know, drama going on the last 2 weeks of the season because of the playing game. But I think if you're a team, you want to desperately stay out of that if you can.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good analysis. Tim, thanks so much, and have a great call. We'll be hearing a lot from you shortly.
And Dibs, I really was hoping Steve would say yes to your suggestion of sitting in the third row. I was looking forward to seeing you down there in sweats.
Yes, and I was hoping the same thing, and I offered that up to the YouTube audience, and, you know, Steve would know that if I was there, it would be a collaboration sensation, Tim.
Oh, there you go. See, cha-ching! I can throw a lob pass.
Yeah. Unbelievable. A 48-hour setup.
A lob pass.
A 48-hour setup just for that, Tim.
All right, guys, enjoy your Friday, yes. and enjoy the weekend. Should be fun on tonight and Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, have a great call. Thanks, Tim.
From there, yeah.
All right.